Listen, I watched Honey, I Shrunk the Kids the other day, actually.
How does that hold up to you?
Can't imagine will.
It's entertaining, actually, if you watch it. I mean, it's well written. It's Rick Moranis. The
Well,
kids. It
I
is,
mean, you have to
for
kind
a.
of get it. It's still a kid's show, right? It's not like you can't nitpick it and like critique it like an adult and like a extremely serious professional, like, state of the art film. You have to be like, all right, this is a show for kids, like Disney shit.
As a wrestling fan, you take things for what they're worth and what they're presented as. And it was a kid's movie based on science fiction, so you suspend disbelief and you kind of try and get into the characters. If you look at who the kids were as actors, I can't really name them off for you, but they went on to do other things. And for being at the time it was in the 80s, so it was I enjoyed it.
No, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids was the early 90s, wasn't it?
I thought it was the 80s. I'll
I
look it
think it was
up.
late 80s, but PC, you can't say the kids went on to do other things and you can't name and they're not a one of them. Those two things
Listen,
can't be true at the same
oh,
time.
it was 89, okay, so
I was
a
drunk
borderline
then.
show.
I was drunk then and I'm drunk now, so you get off my sack.
You were drunk in 1989 when you originally watched this movie.
No,
He probably was.
when I
He probably was.
when I just watched it and I'm
We
out.
I actually went and saw that in the theaters, though, believe it or not,
I believe
as a
it.
child.
No, I'll believe
Because
it.
it came out in the summertime. Yeah.
Are you hearing me? I
Hey,
believe it.
shut up.
I'm not choosing not.
Oh,
I believe
okay.
it.
God damn it.
I
Okay.
believe it too.
Okay, cool. Shit. Shout out to Rick Moranis, though, man. Rick Moranis is low key a funny melon farmer. And he had a hell of a run. He was on that. I don't know if y'all remember that one sketch show with all those Canadian comedians. It came out in like the late 70s. It was called like SCTV or some shit like that. They used to play it on Nick at Night back in the day. But it was him and some other Canadians. So he did that through probably, what, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, which was, 89, 90, because they made some sequels. So we'll say like 93. That's not a bad run. Plus the two Ghostbusters. That ain't a bad run, man. And I'm sure I'm missing something he was in as well. My
Little
Blue
Shop
Heaven.
of Horrors.
Little Shop of Horrors. How I forget about that. My Blue Heaven with Steve Martin, underrated
Yep.
class. Yeah, he had a hell of a run. I can't think of anything else he was in, but I hope
Well,
he's living up.
Spaceballs. I don't think you said Spaceballs.
Oh, that was 89 too, I think. Yeah, I forget about
87 was Spaceballs.
Big
Okay, I
time in
forget
his
about
life,
that.
late 80s.
But y'all just making my point though. He had a hell of a run.
And
Well,
I
you
seen
know why he
Spaceballs in the
stopped though,
movie
right?
theaters.
What, because he started getting old or something? I don't know.
No. His wife died, I think, of cancer or some shit, so he stopped to take care of the family, the kids and shit.
Oh wow! Oh, no, I didn't know that.
No, but
That
like
makes
he went real family man on that. Like his wife got sick, and I think she died, and he decided to stop acting to take care of the kids.
damn. I respect him even more now.
Yeah, Rick Moran is a good dude.
That's like part three, honey. You died. I gotta take care of the kids.
All right. Well,
Well,
now,
that's not a
not.
good part to start the show with.
Yeah, now, not only is this show dedicated to the 4th of July and America's birthday, but also to Rick Moranis, one hell of an actor and one hell of a stand-up guy.
How did all of this trouble begin?
Living in America.
Ow!
Yeah.
Greetings and salutations, ladies and gentlemen. Happy holiday weekend and happy birthday, America. And shout out to each and everybody that's currently out here living in America.
Ow!
Station to station.
Coast to coast. We're going to rock the most.
Welcome back. Doon and doon. I say welcome back. Ba-da-dun, to Potter's Woe Now. Woo!
Potter's yes. Woe
brought to you by the
good. Welcome back.
Oh, boy.
Welcome back.
Your dreams were your ticket out. Welcome back.
Thank you for that. I actually needed a minute to catch my breath because I was dancing and everything. So, yeah, thank you for that. You have no idea how much that helped. Anywho, Potter's Wars brought to you by the good folks at Chair Shot Radio Network in conjunction with... Hey!
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
From station to station. Hey!
And coast to coast.
This weekend, this fine. Get it, PC.
That's awesome.
I guess that was you got it. It was got. Okay. So use your head to make sure you all go to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Pick up your official Chair Shot t-shirts. We've got something for everybody. We've got old school designs. We've got new school designs. We've got Safe Tag Team Wrestling. We've got Baron Corbin Sucks. We've got Jeez Did the Job. We've got the Corona Chair Shot logo and a bunch of the other just cool ass designs and cool ass shirts for the wrestling fan in your life. Even if that's you. And if you appreciate what the men and women provide from the Chair Shot every day, around the clock and across the nation, woo, show us some love.
From coast to coast.
Wrestlingtees.com/TheChairShot. Please and thank you. Thank you and please. All that being said, RIP, shout out to Mr. James Brown. I'm Christopher Platt, Mr. Velvet Pipes, trying to follow up the hardest working man in showbiz. God damn it, I'm just going to say it. I'm the hardest working man in podcasting. That's probably not true, but I'm going to say it. And if I say it enough, people will start to believe it. And as always, I'm joined by the one, the only. Put your hands together, America, and show your love for Mr. Andrew Snowflake Bowles.
I butt chug salt water all the time.
Thank you.
Butt chugging, snowflakes, balls getting all sweaty and melty in this wonderful summer heat. Hooray for the 4th of July and the hardest working men in podcasting with the MVP and the moderator, the Intercontinental Mr. Whatever the hell he likes to call himself with his alliteration and his association. It's a good association to be a part of.
The alliteration and association of the situation. And if I'm being honest about the situation, the true hardest working man in podcasting, ladies and gentlemen, would be the one and only our moderator, the commish, Mr. PC Tunney. Hi!
Well, you're not supposed to say that. I'm supposed to say that when you don't say that.
Okay. So say it and act like I didn't.
No, far from it. Not even close. It's all...
What? That's it. What, all, man, what, is, it, what is it? Birthday.
What is it? Bubblegum and paperclips? Is that what we're doing here? Holding it together?
Hey, that works, though. It works for MacGyver. It can work for us.
I typically use super glue spitting bubble gum, but whatevs, man. It's your journey. Whatever, man. It's your journey.
MacGruber!
Hell, man. Right. It's America's birthday, man. That's what Americans do best, man. Let somebody else take all the work, do all the work and take all the credit.
Listen, folks, just make sure you go back to work with 10 fucking fingers, all right? No one needs any JPP action going on with any of you, all right? No one... No one makes that kind of money, so just be careful when you're lighting off the fireworks. That's all I really got. Yeah. DWI podcast will probably not be there this week, probably next week. Yeah, I don't know.
Actually, ladies and gentlemen, if you do light fireworks yourself, keep them in your hand. That's what makes it special, and it makes it go off a little better. Boom, boom, boom. Keep them in your hands. Hey, matter of fact, put them in your pockets after you light them.
Don't do that.
No, wow. Natural selection, okay? The dumbasses that actually do this, they don't deserve to be here anymore. I don't think I'm speaking out of school when I say that.
No, you're not. I don't disagree with it. Yeah. Darwinism is a motherfucker. If they're too stupid to figure that out, they should hold on to the fucking firework.
Jeez. Say New Orleans, Detroit City, Cali, Pittsburgh, PA, Kansas City, New York City, Atlanta, Chicago, with LA, living in America, and M-I-Z-I-I-I-Station.
How did all of this trouble begin?
Living in America.
Coast to coast.
There's nothing wrong. I'm concerned there's nothing wrong, Andrew.
We'll get there.
Okay, good God, jeez.
We'll get there.
Yeah, we'll give plenty of cause for concern as this show continues.
We'll get there. Happy birthday, America! Come on, man!
Ted, where you at?
Listen.
Alone from night to night, you'll find me.
I'm leaving tomorrow. Listen, in the words of the great holy moly miniature golf television show commentator Rob Riggle, in the face! America tomorrow's gonna get you in the face! Oh yeah! Duffman, America.
If you do it right, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's the goal, unless you try to have kids.
Okay. You guys wanna go to topic one?
Sure.
What's wrong, right, Andrew?
nothing wrong.
Nothing wrong. Leaving tomorrow.
Yeah. I'm concerned because there's nothing wrong.
Yeah, I'm concerned. Oh, God. This is going to be one of those days.
No, it's not.
I figured we'd use that soundbite for Paul Heyman, and I figured for Eric Bischoff as my 4th of July present to Mr. Christopher Platt, I'd let him do his very own very jazzy, very snazzy, very super coming etch-a-zy of I'm back.
Well, Eric Bischoff. You brought up a simple fact or a revolutionary fact last week, PC. I've switched it up a little bit. So if you will, I'll present.
Acapella.
I'm back and better than ever. I'm black. Balls, get your shit together, cause I'm black.
Really?
In my
you're black.
Opinion don't matter.
You're black?
We're gonna
you're
keep
black.
That line the same, aren't we?
Opinion don't matter, cause I'm black.
You're black?
Fuck you, PC, and all your cheddar, cause I'm black.
Oh man, if you know where my cheddar is, please let me know, cause I have no fucking clue.
You probably left it on the softball field, Sid.
Oh man.
I mean, you have to have some pretty good chirping for softball. Come on, you can't just stand there and be quiet and nice. I know it's the Midwest, but y'all guys got to chirp.
Oh, I'm known.
Yes, I'm glad. I'm glad you're known, at least in some, you know, way to chirp, to
no.
be giving the words to the people, to
no.
be making your voice heard.
No, I mean, like, I'm known.
Don't let the like, smooth taste huh? fool you. He'd be trying to be all cool and diplomatic on this show. PC, a goddamn firecracker.
The type you hold in your hands or the type you let go?
Yes.
The second one. Apparently. Let's talk about Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff, goddammit.
Speaking of firecrackers, how about the way Ross started off?
God damn, that was hot as fish grease, wasn't it? Well, hold on, PC. Go ahead and set it up, because I feel as if you want to say something.
Yeah, I do, because I had a couple really good tweets this week, and, you know, they say pop yourself, right? So, I feel
my
like...
My lady's out of town, I will. After the show, of course.
Ricochet yeah. does that, too. We've seen the video.
Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ. We have not seen the video. Okay?
We've Listen, just commented no, on no, it for 3 weeks. No, like, we
no,
have.
Don't it. Include me in your lurid details, okay, sir?
You know
Listen,
you got it through WhatsApp. I know you're not
I,
very good.
I no. Nah, bro. Nah.
There's three pros here. It won't take long. It'll feel great, and you won't feel bad afterwards. So there you go.
Was that from Ricochet's video?
Oh, well, since you've seen it, let me ask you, did he at least have clipped nails?
I didn't actually see it. It's part of the gimmick. It's funnier that way.
Okay.
I didn't see it. No, I totally didn't see it. That's nope. Mm-mm, nope.
Breaking news, we have a interesting segment transferring shows happening here on Pod is War.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
In your opinion, man, Mr. Platt and Mr. Belaz, do you think that Ricochet's nails were properly trimmed? Yes or no?
God, one can only hope.
I'm going to say yes.
That's been another edition.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Hey, back to that other topic. I was going to say that WWE apparently had saved up and now has spent all of their budget for pyro on this Bobby Lashley and Braun Strowman through the Titantron bit. It's been a while, and it's going to be a while again, folks, because that's what you get now, and yeah.
I mean, yeah, Balls, you brought it up, man, and holy shit, what a hot-ass way to start the show. Number one, I was actually enjoying the match between Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley, because for some strange reason, those two guys seem to have damn good chemistry, and every time they've actually wrestled, I ain't like all that other bullshit they were doing, the tug-of-wars and the arm, or the arm wrestling matches and stuff like that. I know that's old school wrestling, but you know, you can miss me with that. But if anytime they actually got in the ring versus one another and had matches, I've enjoyed each and every match, and this one was no exception. And then all of a sudden, to quote Corey Graves, holy shit, that happens. And I mean, you know, it was a little long, like the pyro and whatnot that they had going. It was a bit much, and the fact that they stayed with it so long before they actually cut the commercial, because an actual television show would have probably cut to commercial immediately, but it helped give that anything could happen and holy shit, this actually wasn't supposed to happen type feel to the show, which okay.
I'm sorry, I have off for the next 2 days and I'm drinking and I'm gonna interject a lot, so if you don't want me to interject, just ignore me, but I'm glad you didn't this time. Once you heard Corey Graves say holy shit, didn't you know they're gonna milk the fucking absolute ever-living life out of this segment?
Of course, I did. Yeah. You're right. Yeah, you did. It still was a little long, like, because we were just sitting there watching them do nothing. But still, man, it gave a spontaneous feel to Raw, which I'm not going to complain about at all.
Yeah, I think the only thing that hurt the open, the flow of the open, was exactly what you were saying, was that it was cool, but it kind of lingered too long. And then the fact that the next match had a kind of no contest finish until the commercial break and then the predictable six-man thing. See, I think, I know this is about Heyman and Bischoff, but I hope when Heyman gets his hands more on the product or more involved or exactly how much percentage, like, creative control he has, they get away with these they move away from these stupid fucking commercial breaks. They're too telegraphed, and it makes everything fucking obvious, and it's hard to watch when there's 3 minutes in between nothing happening, when you're just like, alright, we're gonna come back, it's gonna be 6-man. Alright, Alexa got beat in 10 seconds, we're gonna come back, and Nikki's gonna fight for her. Alright, well, shenanigans happen, we gotta restart a match, or now we get asinine 2 out of 3 fall matches that don't really fucking matter, when 2 out of 3 fall matches are historically supposed to have some kind of weight in a feud or be part of a blow-off or part of a finally let's prove to see who's the best, and Miz has faced Elias like 3 times in 2 weeks in a 2 out of 3 falls match and it means fucking nothing anymore. So hopefully they move away from this new format, because I don't like the format at all. But it started off okay for what everybody's attributing to Heyman, but let's discuss something else that everybody's attributing to Heyman. That Maria and Mike Kanellis cucking angle. How did you feel about that one?
Excuse me, I didn't realize we were going there so immediately, because I still have some other thoughts about Heyman and Bischoff. But if you want to go there, okay.
We can focus on Heyman and then go to Bischoff. It's Raw, SmackDown.
All right. So the cuck angle, the cuck heard around the world. I thought that was like topic three or something like that. But
I don't know. I'm drinking too.
Yeah, you kind of jumped the gun on that one a little bit. I don't know, PC moderator.
Ladies and gentlemen, and topic number two.
All right, fair enough. So,
hey, we put them in a blender, we shake it up. We got American margarita. Here we go.
That's an oxymoron, sir.
Don't you insult me in my face.
Oxymoron. You don't call him that.
Hey, man, you mind your goddamn business, all right? You go butt chuck your salt water and watch your ricochet videos and let grown folks talk, all right?
I butt chug salt water all the time. Wow.
You heard the man. You heard you.
Yeah, I heard me.
But back to the
butt chug salt water all the time. All right, so continuing with the emasculation angle that you're starting up, this is nice. So go on with it.
That's funny because y'all remember that Mariah Carey album that was The Emancipation of Mimi? It's like the emasculation of Mike Bennett. But I thought it was funny when I said it. In my head, it sounds fun.
Yeah, it's a Mariah Carey reference. Come on.
it's a Mariah Carey reference. Come on. Like, we're saying, yes, what are you saying, sir?
She hasn't really been good or relevant in, like, what, a decade?
Please, Mariah's a legend, man. You bite your tongue. You butt chug your salt water, sir.
But Both of those things were true.
Speaking of the cucks, so back to the Mike Kanellis thing. So this is how I look at it, man. Number one.
Nick Cannon, you brought up Mariah Carey and we're about cucks.
No. I
miss Nick Cannon. They got Nick Cannon like that. Terry Crews has Nick Cannon's job now? What the fuck?
Terry Crews is better at it. It's fine.
Shit, you got me fucked up.
I like Nick Cannon better. And I love Terry Crews. If you don't watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine, that's a fucking phenomenal, phenomenal sitcom. Comedic sitcom. Andy Samberg, Terry Crews. Andre Brower is probably just fucking the best goddamn thing on that show.
Fuck Terry Crews, man. This Mel Farmer could be reading fucking Shakespeare and he's going to find a way to flex his pecs. Get the fuck out of here.
You're just jealous. That sounds like jealousy to me.
I'm trying. Jealous because some Hollywood agent didn't grab my junk? Okay, cool. Anywho.
That wasn't a no. You were just stating statements right there.
Okay, I'm not jealous that some Hollywood agent didn't grab my junk. And I'm certainly not jealous of Terry Crews either. All right? It
depends on the...
My wife looks better than his.
Let me get my Letterman laughing. Paul.
Say that again. My
depends,
wife looks
depends on her is. Jet. Honestly, I'll just be really shallow here right now. Executive grabs junk. Depends on her gender and weight to me, period. End of story. Done.
The problem was it wasn't her, Tony. That's what I'm talking about. I don't give a damn if
I think I
some
clearly,
woman grabs my junk.
I think I clearly just stated it depends on the gender and the weight.
I'm not even that picky, man. It just depends on the gender, man. If that bro want to grab my junk, okay, cool. She pay like she weigh, she stay. Anywho.
She pay cool. like she weigh. I like that one. I've never heard that one. I like it, though.
Yeah, I have my moments. So back to the Mike Kanellis, this whole debacle. My thoughts on it are this. So Mike and Maria Kanellis / Bennett, whatever the hell you want to call them. So they signed with WWE. Not that long after they sign, Maria ends up pregnant. Mike Kanellis, I believe he has some sort of injury. Then he ends up going to rehab. Then there were these rumors going about that they were trying to leave and ask for their releases. Obviously, that didn't happen. They literally just re-upped and signed for another 5 years at $500,000 apiece, which means for the next 5 years, the WWE is going to be contributing $5 million into the Bennett / Kanellis. Whatever you want to call them, household. And it just so happens, as soon as the ink dries on their contract, whoop-de-whoop, what would you know, Maria ends up knocked up once again. So, number one, let me say I appreciate the level of finesse that has gone on with the Bennetts, but at the same point in time, I can't be mad at WWE for understanding and realizing that they've been finessed and then just kind of shatting on the dude. I don't look at it as a burial. I look at it as the Bennett's been finessing WWE for the greater part of the last 2 years, and this is WWE's receipt. So I pop my collar at everybody involved in this situation. I feel like everybody goes home happy. You know, fair exchange, no robbery, right?
So you're more just amused at the fact that Maria and Mike have played the WWE as well as they have, so Mike could get off the sauce and get in shape and go through whatever he had to and rehab an injury, and then they re-up, and now she's pregnant again, and they got on TV somehow. So you're just more amused at how well they played the game than the fact that the angle is like crash TV, cringeworthy trash.
Both. I'm amused of how they played the game, and I feel like this is just their receipt for playing the game. Like, you know, it is what it is. You know what I mean? This is their tax that they got to pay. I mean, it's not like this Melifarm was about to be main event Mania anytime soon anyway. This is their receipt.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
True.
Yeah,
true.
This is their receipt. That's how I look at it.
So, now, do you think the way Bennett comes back from this, if there's any coming back from this, is really just take them off TV at some point for an extended period of time, then people are just going to forget the cucking angle?
Well, Jesus balls, they've been off TV for an extended period of time. And no,
they
I'm not
were
counting
on 205 Live. A.
Yes, I said what I said.
That you can't just discount that. Come on, it's a show. They have time.
That's
people watch
TV.
It.
That's the network, sir. There's a difference.
Oh, you mean TV. TV
yes.
Proper.
Yes, with commercials and sponsors and shit like that. Not yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Not the TV we pay for, but the TV that sponsors pay them to put on. That's what I'm talking about. That's what counts. So yeah, I don't have a problem whatsoever. And I know, you know, your man Brian Alvarez said this, like, this was the biggest burial he's ever seen of all time of any wrestler.
Jeez, why's he gotta be my man? Why is like everything negative about Meltzer and that crew always like my boy? Come on. You stop that.
That's kind of your lane though. Sir,
you know,
let's not act like that's not.
That. You stop that. I don't. Every time Stephen A. Smith says something, I don't go, well, hey, guess what? Your boy talking up again.
Because I don't fuck with Stephen A. Smith, and you know that. I've been very specific about that on these airwaves.
And I don't really fuck with Meltzer either, but you just love to throw me together with him.
See, you threw me under the bus based upon race. This has nothing to do about race. This is, I mean, Meltzer is literally your daddy. He's got the stars, you've got the snowflakes. Like, what am I missing here, sir? He has an affinity for all things Japanese. You have an affinity for all things Japanese. He shits on WWE. You shit on WWE. What am I missing here, sir?
When have I shat on WWE? When was the last time I shit on it? Really? Really?
Tunney, come on, man.
No,
come
he's
on.
Looking at his phone. He's
come
watching
on,
memes.
Man.
It's fine.
No, I'm listening.
Tunney's really? Having fun on
he Tumblr. Doesn't, Andrew doesn't want me to answer. I won't. It's fine.
Really?
When was the last time? No, really. Legit. Straight up. When was the last time I really shit on it? Because it's funny, because when you call me out on that whole, you just shit on it, and then I say something negative, and then I go, yeah, well, guess, and then what do you have to say? And you go, all right, well, it's not the best thing, but, you know, I try to find the silver lining and everything. So it's not like you're exactly blown away with things. You can't, like, refute everything I'm saying, so how am I just shitting on it? Shit,
literally,
people got offended at the way I kind of shit on Fighter Fest.
You literally just shat on WWE less than 3 minutes ago by saying they emasculated one of their wrestlers. That's
they
not
did,
shitting
though.
On WWE.
How is discussing a storyline and the fact that Maria called Mike her bitch, said he wasn't man enough to impregnate her, says she's going to rather bang Becky Lynch and wishes Becky Lynch was the father of her children, not an emasculation?
Well, number one, I'd rather bang Becky Lynch than Mike Kanellis as well, so I understand where Maria's coming
That's
from.
Not the point!
Number two, I literally just, in this very eloquent soliloquy, we might I add, explain why WWE did what they did. They peep game, just like I peep game, and this was the Kanellis, or the I was about to call them the Browns, or the Bennetts, or the Browns, or whatever the damn hell you want to call them. This is their receipt. For
sure.
Trying to run
that's
game
a fine
on the
way to look button. At it. That is a fine way to look at it as a receipt for trying to run game. But is it not that the storyline and the perception is that Mike has been emasculated and that Maria wears the pants and he's some baby dick fucking joke?
Wasn't this the gimmick the whole time that he was some pussy whip dude? Like, isn't that what was initially supposed to get him over when they first came back? Isn't that the gimmick? Like, have they turned the volume up a little bit? Yes. But that was the gimmick the whole time, that he was some pussy whip dude. He took her last name.
I know, but I remember when JPL pointed that out, and then everybody kind of jumped on him about being an asshole, and it's 2018 or whatever the fuck they came up, and now things are different, and he took her name. It doesn't matter.
That's just because it's JBL, and people want to hate on JBL.
I mean, I agree with you there, but it wasn't... I don't remember it being quite as... her in control and him kind of being under her thumb. They had that stupid power of love thing, and I don't know. And then the fact that her whole fucking reason for wedging into that fucking interview was saying that Becky and Seth called themselves like the first couple of WWE. That made no sense. It's like she was reading off of her own script from like some other world that she just made up. It was rough, man. And I like your reasoning for it being a receipt for, you know, running game on him. But it was still shit TV and a bad scene.
Hey, man, at least they got on TV. When's the last time they were on some meaningful television? Like, anytime you get TV time, as much talent that there is in WWE, anytime that you're allowed some TV time, that means something.
I don't disagree with you there.
Alrighty, cool.
So fine, then.
Fucking okay, cool. Hey, I don't care.
All right, whatever. Okay, yeah, I guess we'll just go to the next fucking topic or whatever.
Well, fine. Right? Let's go to the next fucking topic then. Fine. Cool. Fine. All right. Generic rock music. It's not generic rock music. Generic rock music. I can only get yay high, PC. I can only get so high. And I'm not going to...
We could, but I don't think this is the type of show for us getting only so high. We drink most of the time here.
That's true. A buzz is a buzz, I suppose.
Uh-huh. You can if you want to, Tony. You know, you do whatever you want, but how is this generic rock music supposed to resonate to our next question, Bubba?
Burn it down, man. Fuck it. Hear ye.
To quote Seth Rollins on the topic of his comments toward Ospreay, what's my motivation again? Oh, yes, okay. Excellent. I'm sorry. End scene.
Well, to quote Seth Rogen from the 40-year-old version, of course, you're a virgin. It all makes sense.
I've felt them before. It feels like a bag of sand.
That's kind of... I'm serious.
A bag of sand, really.
Serious question, though. Is Becky Lynch a virgin?
Becky Lynch? What?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't have any...
Was there a preface to that question?
And, you know, like, helping her out with that, but...
Why
is Becky Lynch the one in question?
Like in 2011, 2008, 2004? I don't know. How old is she?
I don't know.
Like, but 31 or 32.
I'm just saying, because we know Seth has had relationships before. Remember, he was banging that Nazi chick. Like,
no, we just know that he sent her a picture of his baby dick. That's all we know.
He was banging the Nazi chick, man. The baby dick picture was, that's why his fiance at the time broke up with him. I don't know if he sent it to the Nazi
chick.
It's
medically small, man.
It was cold that day, man. He's a cold guy. It happens, man. You ever had to unrobe in a doctor's office? It's humiliating.
I like how you're making excuses. Nah, it was cold. It's bad lighting. That's a bad picture. It's all right. Don't worry. There were dudes around. I wasn't that turned on. It's fine.
Man. Shit happens sometimes, man. You know, get older, your ears get bigger, your dick gets smaller, man. It's the circle of life. But now I say all that to say,
Jesus Christ.
Like I said last week, man, these two, they just don't seem to have any sexual chemistry. Not even sexual chemistry. They don't even seem to have any chemistry. whatsoever. And as I said last week, it's kind of hard for somebody that you've been intimate with, somebody that you've seen and they've seen you at your most vulnerable, i.e. naked, because everybody has body issues. It's hard not to have any chemistry. But yet and still, they somehow pull it off. And I'm not convinced that they're fucking.
Yeah, they're hot garbage whenever they're in a scene together. And even though the preface was kind of Seth's apology, that doesn't help any, because, I mean, I get the fact that Seth is supposed to be framed as Becky Lynch's boyfriend, but this isn't so much emasculation as it was for Kanellis. This is just, Seth's a punk bitch. Like, he's got some dumbass attempt at comedy. He's not funny. You know, nothing about his comedic timing or anything he says is actually amusing. And then now we come out with this apology shortly after he's just been kind of body checked into just being a punk bitch. And even Osprey was kind of like, yeah, it's fine. Like, I respect you. Just buy me Nando's afterwards and then we're cool or some shit like that. So, like,
what the hell is Nando's?
I think it's a British restaurant chain or something like that.
Okay, moderator, if you could look that up while Andrew's talking, please continue. Yeah.
What's that?
It's something like that, because I think that's why Nando's, N-A-N-D-O apostrophe S. It's, I know it's a restaurant. I forget if it's Japanese or if it's English, because that's where Osprey has the name of his kick from, where he tucks the head in and kicks you in the face. It's the Cheeky Nando's, because it's supposed to be some kind of reference to that place.
Home of the legendary Portuguese flame-grilled peri-peri chicken. Try a Nando's restaurant near you, motherfucker. Oh, it doesn't say motherfucker, but it does say try
okay,
one
but
near
where's
you.
It based in, motherfucker?
Yeah, that doesn't help anything, and you just interrupted him for no reason.
Oh, the official worldwide home of Nando's. Hello, Nando's.com. Find us here.
Is it British? Where does it say? Is it UK, Japan, Portugal?
They're really making it hard for me to find it, but contact them. If I wanted
that's
to contact them.
That's what Becky said to say. That's why they still haven't done it yet.
Yeah, I'm not
South Africa and Australia.
That's why I asked if she was a virgin.
Wait, South Africa and where?
Africa. Australia is Philippines. Oh, what? Where is it? What's Nando's? Is a South African restaurant chain. It's Johannesburg, South Africa headquarters.
No shit. Okay, I thought it was English or whatever. But
well, South Africa was colonized by the British, so that doesn't mean that is not in England as well.
Africa and Australia
also colonized by the British. Yeah. So yeah, you're kind of bolstering our case here, sir. Indirectly.
All right. So regardless,
sorry
the point
for telling
I was just
the truth.
I was just getting at the fact there's been just a lot of Seth looking like a bitch last couple weeks, like. He can't even chirp on Twitter well with people without then having to double back and be like, yeah, what I said wasn't what I meant, and it was just a mean thing to say or the wrong thing to say. Like, what the fuck? Are we really in that much of a weird PC culture that people can't even try to trade barbs back and forth before they have to do immediate, like, damage control?
Well, the problem was Seth wasn't good at trading the barbs back and forth, which probably led somebody backstage to pull him to the side and pull his coat and be like, hey, Seth. Hey, Seth, you got to relax. You got to relax, Seth. You got to relax. So that's so I don't take too much stock in the apology. I want to double back real quick about my joke that I made. And I said that in just asking if Becky Lynch was still a virgin, because, like I said, they just don't have any chemistry, man. And I'm of the belief I'm going to die on this hill. Fuck it, man. It's a work, brother. I don't think they're really together. I think this is all a work.
There was somebody on Twitter who was asking Seth Rollins, Becky Lynch, name them, name the couple. And I just replied,
Bert and Ernie?
Awkward.
Is in Big Bird. Felix and Oscar.
Calvin and Hobbes.
Garfield and Jim. Not like the others. One of these things. Curious Joe Forge and the man in with the big yellow hat. Which thing is not like the other? Alvin and Dave. Alvin and the Jim and Dave. Heckle and Heckle. Damn, that's Keith Oakman.
What the fuck?
Hey, talk about Keith Olbermann back on SportsCenter. I love it.
He'll be back for a minute until he pisses somebody off, and then he'll leave again.
Yeah,
he's pretty much like he's like Paul Heyman, actually. Super talented, super opinionated, ends up pissing off management, leaves, but always comes back because he's super talented.
I like it. I like it. What else you guys got on this topic? Or are we moving on to number four?
It's a work, man, and he's not hitting it. They're not together. It's a work.
It's Chris's own topic. Just so you know, I don't know.
Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong. Somebody,
I can't. You're right. They're awkward as shit. It's weird. You would think that people that have known each other as long as they claim to have been friends before the relationship, and then if they've been fucking since February, that's nearly 6 months. You think at this point you'd have some kind of chemistry to one another, but they don't, and it's just bad.
I'm not even saying they know each other, man. I mean, I'm not going to do this because I love my woman. I talk a lot of shit on these airwaves, but I love my woman. I could go out tomorrow and go bang
Kreba
and bring her back on the show the very next day, and her and I will have more chemistry than Seth and Becky Lynch. Period. Period.
Well, on the heels of that, why don't we just, you know, speaking of colonizing, let's kick it over to two Brits and have a goddamn commercial.
That's a good one.
Promotional
that's a good
consideration
one.
Paid for by the following.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Sodas rule.
Yeah, they do.
Edge and Christian, that's another duo. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head. Max Seal and Senor Benjamin. Freddy Krueger and Jason. James Bond and M.
Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
Superman and Batman. Tony Stark and Peter Parker. Tony Stark and Thanos, for that matter, have more chemistry than Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins.
Jesus Christ.
The sun and the moon.
Rosie O'Donnell. Jeez. Rosie O'Donnell and Donald Trump.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Pork chop sandwiches. So what's the next question?
And applesauce. They
have
more chemistry than Seth and Becky.
Dude, if you're doing a pork chop, you got to have applesauce. 100.
Nah, that's white people shit, man. We don't do that.
What do you do with pork chops then?
Well, I don't do anything with pork chops because I stopped eating pork.
All right, if you were gonna make pork chops for someone else,
he doesn't need it. Doesn't matter what he thinks.
That partakes. What would you garnish it with, or you know, have a side dish as?
It's like a vegetarian trying to tell me how to eat a steak. It doesn't fucking matter what you think.
He's got pork, but yeah, I would have some rice and something green, and maybe I might pour some hot sauce on it or something like that if I fried it.
Yeah, that's what she said. Let's go on to topic number four, okay?
Now
somebody's
he's mad.
In their feelings about this whole applesauce debacle. Jesus.
Don't fuck with my applesauce, bitch. Hey, let me ask you something, Pat. You like apples?
Oh, God.
I'm not going to answer that.
Yeah, here's topic number four. Here's topic number four. How about them apples? New Japan G1. You guys talk about it.
Wait, this is an Impact. You like New Japan to some degree. You can't just tell us fuck off and talk about it.
All right, this is going to seem a little racist, but I just watched a 30 for 30 with Joey Chestnut and Kobayashi. And that is a little link to Japan right there, right? I mean, come on now.
Sure.
A Japanese legend, Kobayashi.
How was that, by the way? I meant to check that one out, but I forgot it came on. How was it?
Don't take this the wrong way. You'll enjoy it. I enjoyed it.
How could I possibly take that the wrong way?
Well, I didn't. I added all. I enjoyed it afterwards. First, I was just going to say you'll enjoy it, as in like you know you'd enjoy it. Like I didn't. I don't know why I said that. I'm sorry.
You've been drinking. That's all. You've been drinking. We good, bro. We good.
This is a wonderful mess of a show.
My bad. Happy birthday, America.
They don't show a lot of them like scarfing hot dogs down, do they? Because I find that shit disgusting.
There's a fair amount, but there's a story to be told. I told Balls that it could have been 60 minutes instead of 90, but honestly, if I would at least record it and go through it, listen to the interviews, etc., there's a story there. You'll enjoy it.
All right, fair enough, fair enough. Shout out to Kobayashi and yeah. Cody Chestnut.
While we're on the topic, I'm on a little side topic. We're getting into New Japan G1, but before we do that, you brought up Kobe. We got Kobayashi here. We got 4th of July, et cetera, et cetera.
You probably need to get into some water, sir. I'm not saying. I'm just saying. what's
the most hot number of hot dogs you've ever eaten?
Shit, man, I don't know. I don't know. I don't keep track, balls.
I don't know, probably like at one barbecue or whatever, I'd say I try to stop myself at 4.
What?
And it just depends on how long I've been out there with people and what exactly is going on.
What's the most of something you've eaten? Do you hold any records at all?
And I can eat a whole pizza by myself if I really felt motivated to. And there's been plenty of restaurants that have those whole eat this in less than 30 minutes or whatever, and we'll put your picture on the fucking thing. I've done that before.
What's your greatest eating accomplishment?
The cheeseburger, what, like the 1 pound burger that they have. I think it really is eat it in like less than a half hour, and we'll put your picture on the board.
Did you have some fries as well?
Yeah, I used the root. Oh, excuse me.
Yes, you get fries and you have a milkshake too, because cheeseburger is an old 50s style diner, so you get like the big honking fucking burger, some fries, and a fairly thick milkshake that they give you the whole shaker and everything with, so you can actually get like a milkshake and a half out of your order. So it's a whole bunch of thick shit that's supposed to fill you up. Yeah, but that was fun.
Well, I mean, I've eaten whole pizzas before. I probably still could. I just, you know, with my age, it doesn't sit well with me, so I can't do that anymore. I've eaten whole chickens. I remember I ate 50 wings in one setting before. I think those are pretty much the highlights.
And it's true, the age thing will catch up with you, because then, you know, the whole pizza will go in, but the whole pizza will come out pretty quick too, and then you can't always make it to the bathroom, and that's just a different story altogether. It's a memory, but it's not a good memory.
Like, I'll start sweating, and, you know, my heart will start beating fast and shit, and my chest will start hurting. Like, it's just not anything I could do anymore, and it sucks those days are over for me, but they are.
So is that, like, the equivalent to the meat sweats, or is that just, like, a white people thing?
No, I would say that's the equivalent to meat sweats, quite frankly.
Meat sweats are real, man. Meat sweats are real.
I don't even know how we got here, but yeah. New Japan.
Kobayashi.
Kobayashi Maru and his Nathan's hot dogs of doom. So, okay, so if Kobayashi and Roppongi and Tokyo 3K had a hot dog eating contest, who would win?
Me. Of course, Tokyo 3K. Actually, no, I take that back. The fans, because that's a hell of a matchup.
So does it have to be in the Tokyo Dome?
It probably will, because, you know, that's how much it's, you know, that's how anticipated it would be. So, yeah, you could easily sell out the Tokyo Dome with that matchup.
And then does Okada like Rainmaker, the guy who's got like the last hot dog in his mouth, and you just see hot dog go flying, and he pins him and he wins the belt? Is that how that works?
That's disgusting, man. That sounds like some, what is it, DDT type shit. Or not DDT, you know what I'm talking about.
No, you're right. It does sound like DDT. That is correct. Yeah.
Listen, before we get back to our topic, I just want to say briefly that I own two cheeseburger eating titles. One, I won a contest, and another one, I hold a record at a bar. But let's just get back to our topic. Happy birthday, America. Make sure you grill out tomorrow. Have what you're going to have. My main thing tomorrow, which is a side dish, I think is going to be some grilled eggplant with a little Parmesan, dipping it in some marinara. Now you're hungry. Let's talk about New Japan G1. Balls. It's right down your alley.
You can't just glaze over that, talk about having two burger fucking records, and then be like, and now I'm going to make some grilled Parmesan eggplant and put some marinara on top of it because I'm a more refined palate, and now this is healthy for the barbecue. Yes.
Channeling my inner Aesop, Mitchell.
How big of a burger is this that you have at the bar?
Well, first one is we had a McDouble eating contest one time. So I had 12 in 5 minutes. And then the other one is Jimmy B's on 71st and was it Lapham or Lincoln, etc. Some years ago, one sitting, 7 half-pound cheeseburgers, and these were on hoagie buns.
Wait, what the fuck is a hoagie bun?
Seriously, you never had
like,
a Hoagie?
Is that like a Kaiser roll?
It's like a submarine, man.
It's a sub sandwich, basically thing, but it's kind of the middle of the sub sandwich, and it's like a roll as well.
Oh, that's how you guys. No, we call them hoagies in Jersey too, but I've never heard it referred to as a hoagie bun.
Because the most thing
that would be like a hoagie over here would be like a Kaiser roll, where it's, you know, a little thicker. It's got the sesame.
It was squared off to extend slightly beyond the diameter of the burger.
Oh no, that's fair. I just never heard the phrase before. All right, cool. That's a lot. Seven of them?
Well, to finish that day, I went home and went to bed at 4:30. So.
And then you shit yourself at 6.
Then he got the meats wet. It's at 7.
Callback, meat sweats. Let's move on to New Japan.
Actually, all that beef, he wasn't shitting nothing balls for like probably 7 months. He probably didn't shit again until, hell, I have no idea, until it was chili season or something.
Let's just say it.
And then he had 3 pots of chili, and then he goes, oh, there's the burger. That's right. That's
let's just happened. Put it
that,
here.
That meat is still stuck in his colon to this day.
No. We'll Paul Harvey this, and now the rest of the story and the last of the story. It was a firm, gray struggle that happened before dawn.
Ah, so you popped the vessel. That's what you're telling us. You got a hemorrhoid. That's cool. I've had
it.
Don't worry about it.
No, it was firm, and it came out the same gray that it went in, and it was a struggle.
It sounds like a war story, though. It was a firm, gray struggle before dawn. I was knelt down in my... my trench.
He was in there crying and shit, man. He had his little burger towel wiping his face.
There was blood everywhere.
At the beginning of the day, its expectations would nowhere near match its end.
He'd like, you ever drunk to the point where you'd be like, oh God, I'm never drinking again. That's what he said. Oh God, you get me through this. I'll never eat another burger again.
And then he did the McDouble contest.
And then he did the McDouble
contest. He's like, ooh, cheeseburger.
The McDouble contest was like 3 years before this.
Oh, okay. Fine.
Yes.
Oh, shit. So, all right. I guess there was like G1 conversation somewhere hidden inside of that question and inside of the patty between the 3.5 pounds of burger and all that other stuff.
Kobe beef, Kobayashi, Tanahashi, New Japan.
Yeah, we touched on this a little bit, but since Saturday is technically the start of the G1 in Dallas, and we all know about the whole Moxley won't be on the card because AEW is blocking his, you know, in the States appearance, and we still get other great matches like Okada and Tanahashi, and I think it's Kenta Ibushi. I don't have it pulled up at the moment, but regardless, we talked about it a little bit. Are you going to watch any of this? Because I think it's going to be on Access, Chris. So it's not going to be New Japan World. Access is going to actually have access to the first night.
So it's starting on Fridays, what you're telling me? Because New Japan shows on Access on Fridays. Is that what you're saying?
It is usually Friday, but Saturday is a special start. So it's going to be a special show on Saturday.
I actually might be able to check it out Saturday. Friday's probably going to be a little touch and go, but Saturday I might be able to swing that, man. So, as a matter of fact, man, if you hit us up in our private chat, let me know what time it's coming on, man. I might, you know, if I can, I'll try to go out of my way to check it out, quite frankly.
Yeah, okay. I've just decided to Google it real quick. So it looks like it's starting 6 Eastern, 5 Central, and the major matches are Okada Tanahashi, Ibushi versus Kenta, Hideo Itami, whatever you want to call him. Osprey versus Lance Archer, Lance Hoyt, whatever you want to call him there. Evil versus Bad Luck Fale, and Sonata versus Zack Sabre Jr.
All right, as we're talking right now, because you said 6, I don't know if I'm going to be able to swing that, but I'm trying to find Access on my cable because I have TiVo now or whatever the hell y'all call it, and I'm going to see if I can record it.
Who's your provider?
AT&T.
Or UVerse?
Yes. Why? Do you also have it?
I have DirecTV.
Say what?
And so I have Fios. Hooray.
So what would it be called? Okay.
It's the channel is AXS, so it's access.
I know that. I mean, the
and
name
it's probably just G1 Climax 29 or Night 1 G1 Climax, some kind of combination of that.
Oh, shit, they're doing a New Japan a marathon on Saturday.
247. Yeah. Did you find it?
It starts at... No, I got 11:06. It starts at 9 o'clock in the morning. And then I'm here in New Japan Pro Wrestling, 6 p.m. G1 Climax 79, Night 1.
There we go.
11:06. I'm seeing 11:06. Are you on 11:06?
What, Tony?
We'll record in HD.
Yes. Are you on 11:06?
And we're done. Yes.
Jesus Christ.
What the hell are you talking about, man? Yes, I'm recording it now. So, yes, at some point in time before the next Bout is War, I will see the show.
Oh, that's good, because I think Night 2 is not till the 14th anyway, because they have some time between, because, I guess, America and setting everything up for the Japanese tour.
America, fuck
yeah! Yeah.
Oh, so bad, wrong show. My bad.
Yes, those are some. Hey, there we go. All right, those are some pretty big start off kind of matches with Ibushi and Hideo Itami, Kenta, whatever you're calling him, and you know Okada Tanahashi. That ended in a draw last year, so who the fuck knows where it's gonna go this year?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, and it's weird because that's a weird way to start it out because you would figure that both of those guys, talking about Kenta and Ibushi, would have pretty good showings in the tournament, considering how they both have recently signed, and they're both two of the best wrestlers in the world. And, you know, you think they would go far in this tournament. So it'll be interesting to see how everything plays out.
Let's also not get ahead of ourselves with Kenta. Kenta is signed for the G1, but there has been absolutely nothing saying if he signed with New Japan yet. Because G1, much like Champion Carnival and other big tournaments in Japan, are open to freelancers, so Kenta is still, I think, under the freelance category technically still, and this could be his audition, so to speak, to see how much he's holding up, how much he feels like working with New Japan, if there's ever going to be a return back to Pro Wrestling Noah, or if he wants to do something in All Japan or whatever. But I think he's still technically freelance.
Yeah, but you know how this goes in New Japan, man. He's kind of slides into the Ibushi spot at this point in time. You know, really good wrestler, hasn't signed, but they're going to protect him in the tournament. They're not going to let him go all the way, but they'll protect him and he'll have a good showing.
Oh yeah.
And
definitely.
At this point, is it even possible for him to go back to Pro Wrestling Noah? Because I gotta imagine they're a little butthurt that he showed up in New Japan.
They're butthurt, but they also understand it because they just recently got bought by a new company, so new business model. It's no surprise to anybody that they have a little
chug salt water all the time.
Thanks, that's no surprise to anybody, by the
that's
way.
That's no surprise either, but it's no surprise that they have a little bit of issues with the cash flow at the moment, so they're still kind of getting back on their feet. So I think they might not have been offended because they might not have had the money to necessarily throw at him, but a couple appearances here or there might not be too bad. And I think they'll still be fine, especially because the bigger names of Noah have already come out and said, let Kenta do what Kenta wants to do. We're fine with it. Don't be mad at him. Support Kenta because he's still, you know, a Noah-born wrestler. So they're okay with that to a degree.
Fair enough. But shout out to New Japan, man. I'm going to try to keep up with the G1 this year for a change.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot easier, too, since I'm going to be covering the whole fucking thing myself for chair shot.
You poor bastard. You poor bastard. You still should have hired you an apprentice or intern or some shit.
Yeah, I get you. I probably should have hired a you know, a desk jockey, a Japan monkey, something like that, just to try to get me through some of it, whatever we want to call it.
A young boy.
Should be interesting. I may hate wrestling after the fact and just, you know, be burnt out generally, but we'll find out.
Well, how's that any different from your normal aesthetic, you know?
That's a good point, buddy.
I've listened to Raw Reaction, man.
That's at 11:30 at night!
Y'all have the enthusiasm of a funeral.
Hey, depends on what kind of funeral. Is it an Irish wake? Irish wakes are fucking hot, buddy.
No,
have you ever been to an Irish wake?
No.
That's the best fucking party you'll ever be to.
This is one of those funerals where everybody feels bad because they didn't keep in contact with the deceased, so everybody's guilty and falling out everywhere. You know what I mean? And crying. And nobody likes each other, really. But y'all all came together for this particular moment in time. Yeah, it's one of them.
All right, so I guess what you're saying is everybody who listens to Pot is War should tune in for a Raw Reaction just to see if you want to shoot yourself while listening to it, eh?
Hey, man, if you need a good night's sleep, nah, I'm just kidding. I'm just fucking with you, man. Shout out to you. Shout out to Harry Bratwurst and the third dude as well. I forgot his name.
Yes, Sero.
Yeah, God bless you.
Jesus. Oh, I got nothing. So, are you still kind of the same that you thought, where it's going to be Naito and White out of B-Block and, like, possibly Okada or Ibushi or something like that out of A? Or do you have anything that you think might just sneak up and bite people?
No, I'm still there, man. I think it'll either be Ibushi or Ospreay out of A. And, yeah, I maintain what I said until I'm proven wrong, which I probably will be, but that's where I'm going.
This first night's going to be interesting, especially with Kenta Ibushi. That's going to be a big set, the kind of tone, kind of match. And Tanahashi Okada, of course. But they can eat a loss here or there, and it's not going to hurt anybody.
No, not at all. And, you know, it's impossible for those two to have a good match. I wonder how much time they're actually going to give them, though.
Everything has a time limit of 30 minutes in G1.
Yeah, but are they going to give them 20, 30 minutes?
In a finals match, most likely. I mean, because it's a main event, and it's the last match on the show. So they'll probably get between 20 and 23.
All right, fair enough. I guess we've beat that up enough by Drunky Mick Patterson is telling us it's time to go to topic five. So
we have Drunk Pat Patterson. Who?
Mick Patterson, not Pat Patterson.
Mick, Pat, whatever. I don't judge.
Drunky Mick Patterson, not Pat Patterson. Drunk.
You know, maybe he was Irish and you're just calling him Mick Patterson. That's just incentive.
Elite.
That does sound like Amber's out of town.
Is that like a bunch of smarks just getting scared at random points?
That was me doing the fat boys. I understand you're like 16 years old and you probably don't know what a fat boy is, but that's what that was.
Dude, I've been in plenty of fast food restaurants. I know what a fat boy is.
Leave your personal life out of this, okay?
And no, I know what the fuck you're talking about.
Listen, I hope everybody that is listening knows who Johnny Carson is and knows who the great Karnak is, because we're about to have the AEW Fyter Fest version of Karnak. Are you guys ready for that?
Ooh. Hold the envelope up to your head, buddy. Let's see where this is going.
All right. Greg Karnak has the envelope. He has it up to his head. He has it up to his forehead. And he's thinking. He's feeling the flow. He's feel the rhythm, feel the rhyme, get it up. It's Karnak time. How many times has King said that to him? Oh, wait, I messed it up. How many times has he said that to King? Let's go with that. We'll edit that out. You guys ready? Feel the rhythm, feel the rhyme. Let's try this again. It's still Karnak time.
What the hell is happening?
How many times has he said that to King? Let me open the envelope. And it reads. And I quote, JR said. I don't know
you
who's
tried,
legal. I don't know who's legal.
You tried, buddy.
Oh, that was such a long trip to get to a bad end. Oh my god.
It won't be when I edit it. It won't be when I edit it.
I actually made that same joke on Twitter during the show. I said, when JR said, I don't know who's legal, I said, I took that a whole different place. But that's neither here nor there.
And I replied, how many times he say that to King on the road?
Oh, that's what you were trying to do. I get it now. Okay.
Hey,
buddy.
I'm sorry. That was like that was like that firework. You keep lighting and you keep lighting and you keep lighting and finally you get it to light and it fizzles out at the end. Gentlemen, Fyter Fest, speaking of things that fizzle out and you've been looking forward to.
Hey!
Thank you very much.
Remember, folks. Thank you, folks.
Long road.
If it lights up, keep it in your hand. Keep it in your hand. Put it in your pocket. Walk and go check on the burgers on the grill. All
right. Well, before I light it up and let you guys talk about this, Fyter Fest live free on Bleacher Report.
Bleacher Report.
You're welcome. And you're welcome. You're welcome. And Scene, you're
Jack
welcome.
Bleacher Report.
And Scene, you're welcome.
Tom Cruise.
Jack Bleacher Report.
Even though it was free, was it still worth it?
That's a good question. Chris, you want to head this one out?
You know what, Balls? I'm going to say yes, because I was entertained. There was a lot of cringe-worthy shit on this show, and they got a lot of work to do, man. They really do. I feel like the last two matches saved the show. I enjoyed the six man with Lucha Brothers and uh-huh. Oh boy, I forgot his name, versus the Elite.
Kenny Omega.
Yeah. No, I know Kenny Omega ass clown. I'm talking about
Kid. One was with the
Laredo Kid. Thank you. Yes, I enjoyed that, and I thought the main event with Joey Janela and Moxley was cool. I really also liked the triple threat tag match. I think that was on the pre-show with SEU. What's the ambiguously gay duo?
Oh, Best Friends with Trent and CT and Private Party, the younger team.
Bro, oh, Private Party, bruh. That was my first time seeing Private Party. Those kids, they all right, man. Like, I fox with Private Party. I really do. And I felt like that match told a really good story, because the story that the match told was you've got these up-and-coming kids in Private Party who are hella athletic, super charismatic, but ultimately their inexperience cost them the victory, and they did a really good job of banging that home on commentary as well. So I enjoyed that match also.
That's what she said.
Everything else in the middle, pop. Everything else in the middle, yeah. It just, well, no, I like the four-man too with Hangman and MJF, who you know I'm a fan of. Jimmy Havoc, I can't stand Jimmy Havoc, man. I mean, come on. I could beat Jimmy Havoc's ass, man. Assuming I can stay away from the treacherous paper cuts of doom. Like, I can take the farm out. But, I mean, the problem AEW has, and, you know, we knew this going into it, but I think it was much more pronounced and prevalent on this past show, is the fact that they're very top-heavy, but there's no depth to the roster. You know, at the top, they're doing pretty well. You got Jericho, you got Moxley, you got Omega. You can throw Hangman and MJF into that mix as well. You're good there. You know, you can go to war with that. The tag team division is looking pretty solid. You got the Lucha Brothers, you got the Young Bucks, SEU. Mm-hmm. If Night Party comes along, or House Party, or whatever the fuck their name is.
Private.
Thank you, Private Party, the ambiguously gay duo. Like, you have the makings of a nice tag division. But you have
Tina Turner shows up and sings Private Dancer for Money, Do What You Want Me to Do.
Yo, man, that would probably get over and get them some eyeballs on Turner. Like, yes, who wouldn't turn on TV and be like, yo, man, it's Tina Turner, man, singing some shit on a wrestling show. Who wouldn't turn to that, man?
Proud Mary, keep on burning, baby, rolling.
Rolling.
Rolling on a river.
Rolling on a river.
The only person that ever sang the word river with an L.
Cool. But the problem that they're going to have going forward.
No, don't do that to me. Rolling on a river. Rolling on a river. Come on now. Come on, meow.
I do this to you every episode. So just because you've had 10 beers as opposed to 7, now you get butthurt about it?
He's not butthurt. He's just making a point. We might have to see, you know, Chirp King over here soon if this keeps up. How many more brews does that take before, you know, the chirping comes out?
Oh, no. There's nothing.
he's keeping him in. He's like, oh, no, he's staying.
No, there's nothing competitive.
No chirping.
there's nothing competitively athletic about this.
He sounds like the housekeeper on Family Guy.
Mr. Superman, no, chirp sunny, no here.
No, you buy lemon pledge.
But
thank you.
But
the end scene.
Is, man, is, thank you. PC Teddy, ladies and gentlemen. But yeah, their problem is going to be underneath, man. They got way too many pasty, non-athletic looking white guys that feel like they're, that look like they can't whoop anybody's ass. Like, and I throw Jimmy Havoc in there. I throw Darby Allin in there. No, PC, you look like you can whoop somebody's ass. You might be pasty, but you look like you can whoop somebody's ass, okay? You could also beat up Jimmy Havoc, okay? If that makes you feel better. But those type of guys, and those type of guys aren't going to resonate, and it's not just because they're white. I don't want white people to get pissy at me. But, you know, those type of guys, they just are not going to resonate with the mainstream audience. And if you're trying to attract the mainstream audience, then Miller Farmers don't even look like athletes, man. They don't. Like, Darby, okay, you paint half your face to look like a skeleton. Okay, cool. I'll still punch you in the face and take your lunch money.
Yeah, but I think Darby's going to be fine in the respect that he's not supposed to beat anybody's ass. Think about it. That whole Cody match, he got his ass kicked. And the point of the story of the match was Cody couldn't beat him. It wasn't the fact that Darby was some muscle man who just beat the shit back at Cody. Like, no, it was Darby wouldn't die. And he took some dumbass risks, like the coffin drop on like the apron and a few other things. And it was a good showing, the fact that he's more of like this resilient Raven-esque character, where he's a little dark and brooding and maybe even emo if you want to go there. But like, he's resilient and he's tough and he refuses to just stay down. So
okay, but you're looking at Darby. But you're looking at Darby in a vacuum, and I'm looking in the totality, because I put him, like I said, I lump him in the same category as a Jimmy Havoc, as a Marco Stunt who looks like he's 12 fucking years old, okay, as the Mella Farmer with no legs. And, you know, they've got a bunch of other non-athletic guys that don't look physically imposing that aren't going to resonate with the mainstream audience. Hell, I don't even know if Kenny Omega is going to be able to resonate with a mainstream audience. I give him the benefit of the doubt because he's that damn good of a worker, and you know, he has a good look. He's a nice looking guy, which I got into that argument with Amber because I asked her, did she think Kenny Omega was a nice looking guy? She said no. I said no, he's nice looking. I said, you got to remember, this is professional wrestling we're talking about. So I'm putting him up against luminaries such as, or hunks and studs such as Kane and Gene fucking Snitsky. So compared to them, yes, Kenny Omega is a handsome guy. But, yeah, I don't
that's
know.
A stretch.
Come on.
You sound like the guy on Twitter that said, oh, I guess everybody has a talk show now. And I'm like, yeah, there's Alexa and Miz and Kevin Owens. So, yeah, you're right. Everybody but three people.
But, yeah, I don't, you know, and I want it to work. I'm cheering for them to work. And I'm not trying to shit on them. I'm just bringing up some concerns that I have coming out of this show. I still think they're going to be just fine. They just got some work to do.
Sure. And, you know, to I guess address the initial question, was it worth the free? Sure, it was worth free, but it wasn't a great shit, it wasn't even like a good show, because much of what you said the same. There was a couple good matches here or there. It ended strong, but the bad was fucking awful. Like, alright, straight up, which match did you actually think was worse? That librarian bullshit thing with Leva and Ali, or the comedy hardcore match with Michael Nakazawa and Alex Jubaley?
Jesus Christ. You know what? The librarian thing, I actually left because she wasn't hot. And I'm like, if you're going to run a librarian gimmick, at least let the chick be hot. And she's not. So I actually was vacuuming my living room during that match, so I gotta go with the hardcore match.
Actually, doesn't that say more, because you didn't even want to watch it?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Mid-Season Plat Awards, and we always at this time of the year give away the Vacuum Award. Here to present is Christopher Platt.
Yeah, during the whole librarian segment, as opposed to watching that or paying any attention to it, I chose to vacuum my living room. Back to you, Tony.
Your match was so good, Platt vacuumed! That's been breaking news.
To be fair, though, my house was a complete wreck, and I just went into a cleaning frenzy on Saturday evening. It just so happened it was around the time AEW was on. Just to be fair.
I want to do breaking news again, but I won't.
You stopped to watch the Triple Threat, which came on before that. And then as soon as you saw Leva Bates and Peter Avalon come out, then you're like, all right, now I need to vacuum.
God damn it, now I want to do it even more. Stop it.
Dude, you know what's worse? I can't argue. You know what's worse about the vacuum thing? In fucking Janela and Ambrose's or Moxley's match, I thought I saw a fucking vacuum underneath the stage, and you have no clue how much I was actually watching that match going, now I want them to use a vacuum. Now I can actually, I could think of different spots for a vacuum in a fucking hardcore match. Like, God damn it. I want that vacuum. I was like, mad there was no vacuum.
All right, we're going to stop for a pause for the cause, and we're going to come back with a bonus 10 to 12 minutes of Pot is War. You guys like that? A little wrestling soup? A little leftovers from the beef stew?
Oh, Jesus.
All right, well, geez, don't sound so excited about it.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Just when they think they got the answers, I change the questions.
All right, gentlemen. It's overtime. What do you want to talk about? Oh, I can pull that up, but I don't think we want to hear that in our ears.
No, don't. Please don't.
Not do
exactly.
That.
Exactly.
No,
all right.
No, let's, well, we got to talk about the chair shot heard around the world. And where I was going to go before I was so rudely interrupted was, Balls, you brought up the Joey Janela Moxley match, and I got a little apprehensive because I thought they were going to go to places that
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Is you finished or is you through?
Am I injured? Am I injured or am I hurt?
So, you know, I went into that because I know both of them dudes are crazy as cat shit. And I was a little apprehensive because I thought it was going to be a bloodbath. But it wasn't. It was a good match. It was hella brutal. Excuse me.
You know, choked up. It was that good. Was that good, huh?
Start belching.
Yeah, you got choked up. Was that good?
Yeah, I'm good. But, you know, they had some spots with the tax and whatnot, but in the barbed wire, but ultimately, I thought it was brutal, but it wasn't over the top brutality. Like I said, I thought it was going to be Dusty Rhodes, Ric Flair, circa 1983 in this bitch, but it wasn't. So it was cool for what it was. Now that leads me to the Cody Rhodes. Speaking of Dusty, that leads me to the you son of a bitch. Anywho, that leads me to the. I knew it was coming, man. I knew it was coming. That was funny, though. But, yeah, the Cody and Darby Allin that we talked about earlier, and then ultimately leading into the who was formerly Ty Dillinger, who is now apparently known as Sean Spears, which I think that's actually his shoot name.
I didn't know who he was married to.
Yeah. Good for him. He did well for himself. He's with one half of the Iconics.
Oh, Peyton Royce, man. Is that correct?
I actually like Billy Kay better, but that's neither here nor there.
Whatever.
Billy Kay with less makeup is actually really pretty. She just overdoes it for her.
He literally took the words out of my mouth. Like, I literally saw her with and she was beautiful. Like, for real. She's beautiful.
Agreed.
But anywho, yes. So the chair shot her around the world. Number one is 2019. Nobody wants to see head chair shots or chair shots to the dome anymore. Even though if you enjoy what we do and by enlightening your dome, you should go to the prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and pick up your official chair shot t-shirts. Please and thank you. Thank you. And please. But nobody wants to see chair shots to the dome in 2019. That just made me uncomfortable.
Can I ask the official question here in overtime then?
Sure. Whatever that is.
Flip the coin. Go for it.
Where would you like chair shots to be? Head, shoulders, knees, or toes? Knees or toes?
How about just the back and like a traditional chair shot. What's wrong with that? Asshole.
Honestly, I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with the way they did the head. I don't think they would have cared about the headshot as much if Cody didn't bleed afterwards. Because then I think that turned into such a big ordeal about them trying to play damage control and apologize and be like, no, this isn't what we're going to usually do. This is a pay-per-view basis. Basically, pay-per-views are going to have different priority, you know, like rules, but normally we're not going to do this. And I don't know. I don't disagree with your concept of that it's not necessary. We could do other things with what we know. But if they want to take the shot, let them take the fucking shot. Everybody's fully aware of what they're doing. If nobody's around to basically put the 100% no, that's stupid, let them do it. And then don't be a bitch about it and own it. Because the part that pisses me off the most about it is how much they were apologizing for something that two grown-ass adult men decided was a good idea.
Well, that's the thing, man, and I agree with you. If you know, because afterwards, like you're referring to the Young Bucks press conference, I'm assuming,
and where Tony Khan.
And Tony Khan, where they tried to say that the chair was supposed to be gimmicked and things went wrong, yada yada yada, whatever the case may be. You know, that further cements my point, because if you're going to do that, then you got to stare into the skin and get some heat on the hill.
Yep.
And you know what I mean? You got to roll with it at this point. You can't start walking it back and be like, oh, it was gimmicked and blah. No. Now you taking the lid off the business. It's all bad. If that's what's going to happen, you just got to roll with it and live and die with the consequences. That being said, they weren't prepared to live and die with the consequences, which further lets me know that this was a bad idea.
It also kind of further gets across the point that they're very green at what the fuck they're doing. So yes, it concerns me slightly, because everybody wants to set this new brand to live and to succeed, because it's more jobs for everybody and it's an entertaining storyline. But come on, you lit the genie out of the bottle, basically, just to try to apologize for it because people were screaming about CTE and just being giant bitches. But it looks like the moderator may have a thought on this whole thing, because he's making a face and he hasn't even swigged his beer yet. So I think he's got a thought.
I must be drunk as a skunk, because I started drinking when the sun was high in the sky, and now it's been long, long gone, long ago. But when you guys agree, it makes sense to me. That's when I know we got problems over here, you see?
Was that like a Pink Floyd song or something? What do you
that's a you PC Tunny Floyd proverb lyrics, bro? Right there. That's a proverb from Tunny.
That's an original.
No, but I mean,
that was an original on the spot, by the way, so don't forget about it.
No, that was pop. I'll pop for you then, bro, because it was an original. I'll pop for you. But, I mean, the issue, Balls, is that, you know, they're nerds, and there's nothing wrong with being a nerd, because I'm a nerd, but I'm cool. And, you know, they've got the nerd population and the internet population, but the problem is it's kind of like how the Fyter Fest, and it was supposed to be a parody of the Fyre Fest, which was a debacle, and they ran skits throughout the night about it and blah, 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 that. The funniest thing that happened the whole night is when they started out with the bikini-lated models, and then halfway through the pre-show, they said, well, we can't afford them no more. So they took all the models off except for one, and then they threw out some mannequins in their place. That was actually funny. But the concept of trying to mimic the Fyre Festival, and it could have been funny, but it wasn't. And it just came across as corny. And that's the thing, like, they've got their internet darlings, because everybody's cheering for them to win. Like, you know what I mean? I don't want to say they're the little engine that could, because it's kind of hard to be the little engine that could, and you got a billionaire backing you. But everybody wants them to succeed, because everybody understands that it's good for the business to have more than one major company for, you know, for talent, for referees, and whatever the case may be. Like, that's a good thing. But, again, it goes back to what I said earlier, man, talking about the Jimmy Havocs and the Darby Allins of the world. Like, you've got to appeal to a broader audience than that, and those guys just aren't going to do it. I mean, the best thing they have going for is that they have guys like Dean Malenko and Dustin Rhodes and Jericho and, you know, Billy Gunn, like old school guys that have drawn money in this business and know how it's supposed to go. So perhaps they can mix the old school with the new school, but at the same time, they need some young, fresh minds in there as well. And I don't know. I didn't want to go here, but I'm going to go here. Fuck it. because I made this point on Chairshot Radio, Sundays on Chairshot Radio Network. You know, everybody, and I've talked about this a lot as well, the problem with WWE is that you've got a bunch of old white guys ruling the roost, you know what I mean? Then they don't know what time it is, or, you know, have their pulse on the button or their button on the pulse. Well, in this scenario, with the notable exception of Brandi Rhodes, who, I mean, a black woman executive in a wrestling company, I don't feel like that gets talked about enough. That's a big fucking deal, man. It really is. That's a big deal. But other than that, you got a bunch of nerdy white dudes and a bunch of nerdy young white dudes. I don't know if the cool factor persists with them. Like, this isn't Kevin Nash and Scott Hall, like two guys that are, or even Sean Waltman, three guys that are legitimately cool-ass dudes. Even to this day, they're still cool as hell. And I don't know if they have that cool factor that's going to, after the initial couple areas of the show, I don't know if they have that cool factor to maintain a sustainable audience. Again, I'm not rooting against them. And I'd like to think that they're going to figure it out, but they've just got a ways to go. That's all. I'm just pointing out things that, you know, they need to work on.
You make a good point there. But you also, I guess, the only counter to that would be that you do have to realize that the last decade or so, the cool factor has kind of pivoted to more of the nerdy aspect than the nerdy angle with, you know, Big Bang Theory is one of the most popular sitcoms in, like, the history of television. Shit. Even, what was it, 21 Jump Street or 22 Jump Street, whenever that movie came out, even basically had, you know, Channing Tatum trying to tell him how to be cool, but then the nerds were the ones that were the cool ones in the school and kind of ran the school. So it's a weird pivot where nerdy shit is definitely more cool than it used to be, but I know what you mean. Like, the general populace, the general casual audience isn't going to want to give a fuck about a bunch of dudes dressing up like fucking Street Fighter characters and doing fucking stupid shit or making librarian references or video game running down video game nerds for not, you know, losing their virginity or living in basements or, you know, atypical bullshit that people say constantly. So I get it. I do get it. And I know what you mean by cool factor.
Yeah, because I mean, the New Day are nerds.
There might be enough people. Like, you know what I mean?
But the New Day are nerds, but they're cool. Like, most of the female wrestlers that WWE has on their rosters are nerd or roster are nerds. But they're cool. Like, Sasha Banks is cool. Becky Lynch is cool. You know what I mean? Charlotte Flair, to a certain degree, she's cool. But they're wrestling nerds.
The nerds are Alexa and Ember. Ember, like, legitimately plays Dungeons and Dragons and video games. And Alexa's just as big of a dork, too, when it comes to shit like that. And Alexa has to play a mean girl just to kind of be the popular one on TV. And Ember, I wouldn't say she's cool just yet. Becky's corny, but she's not, like nerdy, I wouldn't say.
No, she's a nerd, but she's cool because she could talk. But she's a wrestling nerd. That's what I mean. Like, she's a wrestling nerd. She's like, Sasha's a wrestling nerd at the end of the day. You seen her husband? He's a nerd, which means she's a nerd. But but they're cool, you know what I mean? But they just, you know, they love what they do. And there's nothing wrong with that. But they're, you know, they're nerds, but they're cool. That's what I'm trying to say. I don't know how much, I guess it really hinges on Omega. How much can he resonate with a mainstream audience? I don't know, because the Bucks, they're a niche market. Jericho's going to get you some initial eyes just because Jericho's been on TV for the last 25 years. Moxley is, you know, he's a mainstream name, and he's going to get you some eyeballs. Hangman Page eventually is going to get you some eyeballs. I think Hangman Page is going to draw some money for you, and MJF is going to make a lot of people wealthy in this industry before it's all said and done. You can, yeah, you want to, but he will.
People are talking too much about him too early. We've had this conversation. I just, everything he says, it's just to pop himself and to get a pop. Nothing he says with conviction, or nothing seems like it's actually visceral like a heel should be. He just always has that shit-eating fucking grin on his face, and you can see as he's stopping between comments and thinking, he's smirking to himself, like, this is gonna be funny. Like, there's nothing that you get into it going, okay, he's actually an asshole. He's just being a dick.
But but he commits to the gimmick. Even offline, yeah, he's a dick. Even online, he's a dick. Like, it's not just wrestling. He's committed to his gimmick. And
yeah, sure,
you know me.
You know me, man.
I've been on MJF since his MLW days. We talked about this a long time. Yeah, shit. Towards the beginning of our show, I said, yeah, this guy's gonna be a star.
I haven't been on that board, and I know lots of people are. And I need to see something else, because right now he's running back the heel classics. And sure, he commits to the gimmick. I'll give him that much. That's commendable. But facials are fucking awful to me. That's kind of where I go with it.
So Tunney has given us time cues, and I know he's been.
Yes, there was two.
I don't want to piss him off. So before we get out of here, man, just real quick, man, if Cody and the Bucks and Kenny and whomever else called you and said, hey, Balls, man, what do we need to do to write this ship? Not even write the ship, but to make sure that we hit a splash in the market. What advice would you give them?
I butt chug salt water advice? All the time. Oh, that's the first one right there.
Well, Kenny probably does that, which there's nothing wrong with that, man. Shout out to him.
He probably does.
Yeah.
I mean, a little more beef, honestly, not to sound like McMahon or whatever, but to have bigger people on the roster might add to the cool factor, because they're all so small. Aside from like Luchasaurus now, who just recently got signed, everybody else is like 5'11 and 205, and they're just not imposing. They're not impressive. They all kind of look the same, like typical indie white guy. And then, or you got Havoc that looks like he's an anemic grandfather who's in an emo phase. Like, it's fucking, I don't even know. Like, it's hard, and I fucking hate the librarian thing. So that would probably be the first thing. I'd be like, yeah, kill them both. Not literally, just the gimmicks. Leva's actually pretty cool, and she's a decent wrestler, but this librarian thing is fucking awful. Peter Avalon's fucking trash in half. There's a reason why TNA made him fucking Norv Fernum, and he was a fucking jobber, and fucking EC3 named him, and he was his son. It was just a fucking joke. Norv fucking Fernum.
It's funny.
What would you do, huh?
I have no idea, man. It's funny because it almost feels as if the WWE won this war months ago when they started signing
so
everybody. You know what I mean?
True. Yeah. I mean, the one big thing, I guess, they could still pull out of their hat is, I think we touched on it last week, or maybe I touched on a wrong reaction, was Brian Cage, Moose, and a couple of the Impact people are chirping with the AEW people on Twitter. So if you could get a Brian Cage into AEW, or Moose, or even like a Johnny Nitro Hennigan Mundo Morrison, whatever the fuck his name is, or somebody with a little bit of name power and a little bit of size, that could be good. Even if it's just an interpromotional kind of, you know, Impact versus AEW, they don't have to sign him completely away from him. But something like that, I think, would be like, or like Tessa or Sami Callihan, something like that, I think might help AEW's whole look.
Well, they definitely need a Tessa, because that women's division is hot garbage. But the only advice I can give them, and frankly, WWE could probably do this better at this point, because that locker room is as brown as it's ever been. But the only thing, advice I can give AEW is that, you know, this country continues to get browner and browner as the days and years go by. Stare into that skin, man. There's a large Hispanic population. They go up for theirs. They'll spend money for theirs. They'll come out and support for theirs. And there's a lot of black people as well, man, that are wrestling fans. Like, we grew up watching the same shit y'all grew up watching as well, man. And we fox with wrestling, too. And we, you know, people that look like us, they resonate with us, and we support them. So if I could offer them any advice, that's what I would say. You stare into the changing demographics of America, man. You got to get a lot browner in your presentation. And hopefully that might up your cool factor as well.
Well said.
But, you know, what do I know, man? I'm just a skinny dude from Cleveland trying to make a way. Anyway, Mr. Belaz, why don't you let the good folks know where they can find you?
You can find me on the Twitter machine, the IWC War Chief.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the right thing I do on my children need wine. I like the assortment of cheeses. It's a good
bon
time.
Voyage.
I watch the G1 with
Parlez-vous
my brie cheese next to me.
Voulez-vous coucher avec quoi? C'est quoi?
Voulez-vous coucher souffle?
Napoleon Bonaparte. Flamme. French toast. Crepe. French fries.
Omelette du fromage.
Donde eres la biblioteca?
Donde es la fucking... Alright, yeah.
Cordon Bleu.
One of you two go now. I don't fucking care.
My name is PC Tunney. You killed my father. Prepare to die. No?
That's cool. You can find me on Twitter at The Real C Platt. More importantly than that, man, use this holiday weekend to go to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Pick up your official Chair Shot t-shirts. If you enjoy what we do and the content that we provide to you on a daily basis, us, show us some love. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Please and thank you. Thank you. And please, Commissioner.
Chairshot.com. Always use your head.
That was such a good.
You mean right? Because you know she's out of town.
It was such a good promo. I thought it needed to be finished properly.
She hates it, by the way. She hates that drop. She wants to redo it.
Well, then she should fucking redo it.
I'm good, man. It gets used all the time.
I'm a lotion-oriented dude. If she wants to redo it, we can redo that anytime.
Did you say you're a lotion-oriented dude? Leave my woman and your lotion habits out of your mouth. Simultaneously, please. Thank you, please.
I said solution, and I always try to keep the lotion out of my mouth, motherfucker.
Puts the lotion on the skin, or gets the hose as a cat.
Hey, no, all jokes aside, brother, where could they find you, man?
Yeah, well, apparently. All right, we're not going to go there. Anyway.
You can find him in the healthcare aisle next to the skincare.
Fuck you. At PC Tunney. On the Twitter, also on podcast CWI, we're on a summer hiatus, so just fucking deal with it. I'm here. That's it.
Shout out to DPP, man. That's my man's.
Yeah, he's okay.
Don't be a hater.
I'm not hating him. I said he's okay.
All right, so before we get out of here, man, gentlemen, two of you, man, what is your best or your favorite grilled item? Seeing as how we're upon American's birthday. What is your favorite grilled item or item on the grill?
Oh, that's it. I'm kind of basic when it comes to my barbecues. Like, I like a nice burger, and I even like the ring sausage, something like that. Like, cut it up real nice, put it. It's simple when it comes to that. I can't really go too much into depth with it.
Tony?
Lemon pepper shrimp skewer.
Oh, look at you.
Good
you
God,
fancy,
look
huh?
at you. Oh, fancy and shit.
Oh, you're
your,
fancy,
your
huh?
eggplant parmesan and your lemon pepper fucking shrimp skewer. What the fuck?
Are you going to have that with a nice 67 Chateau Le Bleu?
No, man.
Are you
going to
have
fucking...
some testosterone?
I'm going to have a fucking beer. Go fuck yourself. I drive a Dodge Stratus.
That's funny. I drive a Nissan Versa. Your car is like three times the size of mine.
No, I don't drive Dodge Stratus. I have a Honda.
Oh, good.
I have an F-150, so hey.
Oh, of course you'd have an F-150. America.
Fuck yeah.
F-150.
We should, thank we you should for... go out on that song. Sheesh.
Ruining the environment, asshole.
I live in New Jersey anyway.
Hey man, for the Commish PC Tunney, for Andrew Snowflake Blast, for the Godfather of Soul James Brown, I'm Christopher Platt. Thank you guys for tuning in. And ladies, enjoy your holiday weekend. We hope we provided you with some laughs before you had to go hang out with your lame ass family. Until next week, hit it, James and Sonya.
How did all of this trouble begin?
Living in America. Nothing wrong.
Nothing wrong at all. You're not in any difficulty, but you're out on bond.
No, I'm not.
Have all the charges been dropped?
Yeah, I'm out of love.
Are you out on love or out of love? Which is it?
Out on love. A lonesome night tonight, you find me. We're leaving tomorrow.
And where are you going?
Rio de Janeiro and São Paulo. Brazil.
Now, your fans will have read all about this, James. Aren't you concerned about that?
No. Dagestan. I'm concerned because there's nothing wrong.
And what are you going to say to your fans when they ask you some questions about it?
I'm going to say, I feel good. Papa's got a brand new bag. It's a man's world.
What are you going to be doing on this tour?
I'm going to be doing Papa's got a brand new bag, living in America. Sex machine, get up off of that thing. I feel good. Jam.
Now, I understand that you already... James, I have to ask you one serious question here. I understand you already have started divorce proceedings. Does that mean that you're now eligible?
I'm single. I want to mingle.
You want to mingle?
Yeah.
Now, the women love you when you get out there. Why do you think that is?
What'd you say?
The women love you when you get out there.
Why is that, lady?
Well, I'm asking you.
Huh? Because I look
good.
What
do you think that is?
You look good. I smell good. I feel good.
And you sing good.
And make love good.
Oh, of course.
There's nothing wrong. I'm concerned because there's nothing wrong.
It's about Karamucha.